Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. This episode is brought to you by 3Chi. 3Chi, it rhymes, is the industry leader in Delta-8 THC products. Delta-8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. Go to 3Chi.com, the number 3Chi.com. to shop for Delta-8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S-2-1, at checkout and receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
Turn me up on my headphones, Todd. Todd, turn me up on my headphones, man. I've been in the studio, man. Turn me up, man. Yo, yo, yo. I wish podcasters started like rappers and shit. Like we were, like we talked about the studio. Like they, hey, I'm in the studio, man. I'm just in the studio, bro. Like all we do is stay in the studio. Like we just, if I don't pick up, it's I'm in the studio.
You think it's because they don't write long enough songs to meet their contractual obligation? So they're like, oh, I got a riff for 32 seconds. To get this to 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Well, also, I'm not necessarily saying a part of the song where they say that. I'm actually talking about like the off the interviews, the everything. Like they're constantly in the studio and they're spending money on the studio time and they're hanging out in studios.
Oh, you're talking about the social media posts.
Yeah, you know, well, just in general, you know, grinding the rap game in the studio. I'm in the studio, man.
We're always in the studio. Why don't we do that more?
Why don't we just say, I'm in the studio. Say, yo, I'm going to start tweeting
that.
Yo,
I'm in the studio.
Yo, we in the studio, man. Just listen. If we don't pick up, I'm in the studio. Me and Todd, man, on the board.
Just dropping knowledge in the mic.
Rhyming.
Like
I'm rhyming. I'm laying it down. You know, I'm producing tracks. And that just means another episode of the podcast.
I'm making up face facts, yo. Into this mic because I'm in the studio. Do I sound like a rapper? Pretty much just like a rapper.
You sound like, I don't know if I'd say rapper, but maybe like a an executive producer.
Nice.
A Shelbyville, Indiana executive producer.
Sean, we still have 32 seconds to fill on that track. Can you go ahead and just lay down a bunch of riffing about being in the studio and then we'll just add that to the beginning of the track?
My man, listen, I stay in the studio. I'm going to do, I do what I do in the studio. So what's up, Todd? We just got back from ACL weekend, man.
You know it, man. My ass has been dragging since we got back. I don't know. The long drive mixed with, we just, you know, long hours.
It's the hours, the drive, the travel, everything. Like from Tuesday to Saturday, I got there a little bit earlier than you. Because I wanted to play in one of the tournaments, the advanced singles, which is non-pro.
Right. But it's advanced.
But it's advanced.
It ain't your basic backyard game.
It ain't intermediate. Mm-mm. It's advanced. You know, I went 2-2. But it's, the hours, 15-hour days, bro.
I know. And, you know, it's like we had so many people wanted to interview. You know what's hard? Tracking down cornhole pros at the world championships to get those interviews down. Mm-hmm. You run by them like, hey man, can I get with you later? And they give you their number and then you text them and then there's no answer. So you're like, ah, yeah, they're back at the bar drunk right now or in the room, mm-hmm. hitting the cooler.
Or another, or they're advanced into one of the tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, those are easy to spot, but the other ones, yeah, they just gone. Because you know what's like you fucking, you worked, you know, so hard for this so long, and then you fucking get knocked out. Let's say you were tied fucking 19 all, you end up losing 21-19, a match, you know, you went like 30 rounds, fucking, then some dickhead comes up and is like, hey, man, can I get an interview with you? Can we film this little sketch thing that we come up with mm-hmm. you? And they're like, go fuck yourself. They don't say that. But, you know, and I would be saying that. I'd be like, dude, I want to punch everybody in here in the face right now. I just fucking lost.
Yeah.
I don't want
I've gotten some good ass loser interviews, like when they've just come off a loss.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hit that much too much because I've done it enough already the first four events. So I try to get different angles of shit with my vlog submissions.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you can't, when we're vlogging, you can't just do the same shit over every time.
No, you can't. You
got to find new angles, new journalistic parabolas, if
something
you will.
Something new.
New shit. You know what I mean?
You love that word, parabola.
That's my first ever Bernie Neighbors word. Bernie Neighbors is a ACL Neighbors employee, American Cornhole League employee, also on the mic. He does a lot of stuff on the broadcasts. He's a guy on the mic. These bags are live. He's an absolute saint of a human being. And he has a vocabulary that I always learn some new shit.
He's becoming an ACL personality. Like he's getting popular. People dig him. He's funny. And man, the dude battled the whole world championships. He was sick as shit. And he battled through it to make sure he was the voice of God mm-hmm. during the ESPN events. All right. So a parabola is a symmetrical open plane curve formed by the intersection of a cone with a plane parallel to its side. That's exactly what I thought it was.
Exactly. I mean, you knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, I was like, mean a symmetrical open plane curve formed by the intersection of a cone with a plane parallel to its side? Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly.
All right.
Also, for the in a more layman's terms, is that's how, if that's what the saying is, it just means the angle, the arch of the bag, the arch of something you toss.
Really?
So whenever you say, that's a nice parabola, that means that's whenever I go up top for the airmail and I got like a nice 30 footer in the sky.
Yeah.
That's the parabola of the bag to the hole, Todd.
Because it's also the path of a projectile under the influence of gravity ideally and follows a curve of this shape.
Bingo.
Yeep. If I draw a line, that's a parabola.
There it is. There it is.
How about the word layman? Like, at some point in time, people were like, you know what? All these people here, they don't understand layman. What I'm about to say. Layman.
You're lame. You're laymans. A group of lame people.
I'm going to put it in layman's terms, which means dumbass.
Yeah. Hey, fuckface terms.
At some point, I think we made it a nicer term than it really was. But initially, it was synonymous with dumbass. Look at all these laymen. What are you? Fuck off, you layman.
I also learned another little term today that I can't wait to bust out on a business owner at some point.
What's that?
Maybe during some sort of meeting with some sort of high-profile business company owner, I could say, listen. I really love you guys' operation. I work with a private equity firm that I trust. Ooh. Are you guys looking to take outside capital right now? Come on,
bunch
guys.
Of terms there.
Come on.
What was the first one?
It says that I work with something a private equity firm.
Private equity firm. That's
that
a good
I,
one to
but
break
that
out.
That I trust. That I trust.
Yeah.
I've known. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is a legit company. And I want to know if you're looking to take outside capital.
Outside capital. That means capital not from the inside.
Yeah, it means we're gonna put some money in. Here's a nice sum of you know, cash, on hand cash. Mm-hmm. That way you don't have to borrow against yourself, you don't have to go to the bank, and you now have cash on hand, and all you're doing is giving up some points. You know what I mean?
By the way, anyone who would like to provide outside capital for this podcast,
if you're a private equity firm.
If any private equity firms that listen to this podcast are wanting to provide some outside capital to the Guns Blazing operation, then please hit those DMs.
Mm-hmm, because we are looking, not that we're looking, it's just that we wouldn't turn down the you know, somebody with a little bit, you know, with some equity that is looking to maximize on the advertisement front.
Yes.
Kind of grow the brand.
You know what I mean? We're looking to take these shares public.
I feel like I need to have at least a sport coat on when I say that to somebody. I don't think I could have a sleeveless shirt on when I talk, when I say, listen, I work with a private equity firm that I trust. Do you guys, you know, do you guys ever take outside capital? Are you looking for any sort of capital? Maybe make some moves, maybe expand, and maybe Chicago, New York, LA.
Yeah. I think the sleeveless shirt is going to negate everything you just said. They're going to be like, oh, but outside capital, do you mean weed? Mm-hmm. Is this a code word for your for your drugs? That's what they're going to be thinking.
You know, I would like to hear two street drug dealers talking in this format.
This should be code for drug dealers. Like, if to avoid the wiretap, they should be talking in terms of like Wall Street financial jargon.
The S&P 500, private equity firms, outside capital, you know.
Right.
That you have a decent little operation underway, but it's not that large, maybe a 3-block radius.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone larger comes in and they say, listen, I work with a private equity firm. Do you want to, are you guys taking on capital right now? And the parabola of the private equity, I don't know if you will, industry, world, sector, is that things go up and things go down, Todd. You know what I mean?
And I think in the drug code, every time you say private equity firm, since that starts with a P, you're talking about pills.
Mm. See, I was assuming that that was the higher up.
And if you're talking about money market, then
that means where's my cash at? The flow is, there's something wrong in the flow of, I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's talk about, I want to talk about this. I did today, you know what I did today?
What's that?
Well, I went into my car and it was a smell. I couldn't figure out what the fuck it was. I knew there was a smell going on. Yesterday I went to lunch with Cassie, my lady's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I got in and I was like, oh man, what's that fucking smell? So luckily I had a little tree I could bust open, you know, mask the smell of whatever's rotten in the back of my truck.
Okay.
I knew it was, I took all the fast food bags out, so I didn't know what it was, but I forgot that I just didn't know what it was. And I just didn't move everything and find out right away.
Right.
We just went and then whatever, the day ended and blah, blah, blah. And I got in today. I'm like, God, what the fuck is that? Anyways, I moved some lights that I have in there and I happen to have a bag of potatoes from a few weeks ago that just happened to be in there.
Did you have a bunch of peckernets? Flying around.
The little green buddies popping out. That's what you call them?
No, the little tiny little gnats that buzz around potatoes.
No, there was no gnats, but it was just the mush of a couple of potatoes that had started to take a different form.
Man, every time when I was single, like sometimes I'd be like, what the fuck are all these fucking gnats coming from? And then I would track it down every time, a bag of rotten potatoes under the cabinet. Every time.
These were some smaller little buddy potatoes.
Mm.
And so I got them out and I had to fucking scrub the seat. And I had gotten these brush things. They connect to your power drill. And they're brushes. And like we're talking next level cleanliness, homie. And so when I was a kid, you know, when I got my first car, I took over my mom's car payment and I had a 1994 Hyundai Scoop in 96, 97. I had the Hyundai Scoop. It kind of looked like a Honda Accord. It was clean. It was black titted. I had bought some rims for $1,000 off the homie. And at the restaurant, everybody had dope ass cars, lowered, you know, Acuras, four door, all real nice.
Hell yeah.
And I used to wash it. I used to go to the car wash. So I'd be there for hours, man. I would be there. You know, you got the West Coast hip hop popping off, dude. Or some Too Short, you know, if you want to go up in the Bay Area. And you you don't go to the drive through car wash. It's half ass.
You go to the
car wash where you have to put about 48 quarters in. And then you get the little spray and you get to be the man with the power washer. I'm the power washer here. I am the man. You get to power wash the car, you know, you get the brush with the bubbles popping out. And once you click the little lever over the brush, soapy brush.
Uh-huh.
And then you get the wheels good, the tires, and you scrub down the whole car. And then you get back with the high pressure wash again. And then you hose down all the soap and shit. And then you come back with the wax spray. And then you pull up, radio rocking, start drying process. And you got to get inside the doors, Todd. The door, the ledges where the door, the what's that, the wedge where the door is over the metal of the chassis.
Oh, yeah.
Right in there. You got to get all the way up to the from the top of the window of the door, that whole inside crease. You got to pull out the mats. I have plastic mats. I put another 275 in quarters, hose down the mats. I put about $4 of quarters in. The vacuum game went strong. The only thing I didn't do, because and I would have done, I couldn't hit the windows real good because they didn't have any of those little wet wipes for the windows, and they didn't have any little sponges for the armor all for the inside. So I have to tomorrow morning go. I'm gonna go to the drugstore. I'm finishing the job at the house. And I'm going to the drugstore. I'm going with the armor all. So I also took the brush on the edge of the drill. Like, we're talking next level. And I cleaned out all the crap. Because you know what always got me was not too long ago, we were talking about when cops pull over stoners or whatever, if there's no actual weed in the car, you can still get them for the crumbs.
Yeah.
And I got a ton of crumbs in my car. And not that I'm saying I'm driving around with weed. Yeah, shake. I'm not saying that, but even though I am, but I ain't. But I told you I smoke weed a lot of times because I don't smoke in the house.
Uh-huh.
So I just got crumbs everywhere. And it ain't shit you're gonna put in a bowl. So I got my drill, my brush, and just went ham and cleaned out the whole center console. And then I also hit the rims with the brush. I was out there power brushing, bro.
You went all out, man.
And tomorrow's windows in the dash with the armor all and the tires to armor all. But I got the rims. I got the mats. I scrubbed the shit of the mats. I vacuumed the fuck out of it. And it was like therapeutic almost.
We used to have state police inspection, or they would inspect your vehicle once a year.
Yeah, I remember. I remember I was with you at one point when you had to do that.
Dude, you would have to. I mean, guys were power washing their engine because they would check every fucking crevice. Like, really? It wasn't even good for your car, the type of cleaning you were doing. Like, and it would take you sometimes, like, at least in the old days, 2 days to clean your fucking car. So you would lose 3 days where you were on the clock and you weren't doing shit. Like, you weren't going to any calls because you couldn't get your car dirty.
Yeah.
So, and we could be like, homicide in progress. You'd be like, be advised, I'm still cleaning my car for inspection. like, it was the dumbest thing in the world. It shuts. Like, if you're in Indiana, I'll try to find out when the inspections are coming up and I'll put out a fucking tweet. That's the day you speed. Ain't a fucking single trooper out there going to risk getting a bug splattered on his grill.
That's awesome, dude. I put in a 20, and you know what else? I'll tell you what else I loved. I went, I stopped off. I got a 4-pack of, some White Claws. I knew it was going to be a couple hour operation. Mm-hmm. Every 30 minutes, I have a little cocktail. I only drank 3.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went over to the 7-Eleven, hit the ATM. It's a PNC ATM, so I don't have to get charged. And then I went over to the car wash across the street, and I put a crisp 20 in the fucking quarter thing. And it was so satisfying. I was so mad my phone was in my truck. It was so satisfying to see that again, the quarters, because the casinos have given up on us with quarters when you would win and you'd have like 400 quarters in a cup. Mm. And it felt so good. And I was like, I almost wanted to put another 20 in, bro, to sort of overflow.
You know what I started doing? Because, pretty much everyone abandons their change for the charity jar that's sitting there like at a gas station or whatever. When they kick underneath the bulletproof glass, they kick out that change in the little tray. You give them a little wave. Just go ahead and put it in there.
Yep.
And so what I've started doing is I bring my own charity jar with the picture.
Oh,
of like a dog in a cast, his arm in a cast,
with a cat consoling him.
Yeah. And there's a cat that's got a crutch under its arm. And I just like pull back one leg for the photo. So it looks like they got a nub. And then I just pull up, scoop the change into my own charity jar. So that
you switch it out.
Yeah. Instead of waving it off and letting them take it, I scoop it in and I face the picture of the dog with the cast and the cat with the crutch, and I just scoop it into the top of that jar, and then I put the lid back on, and I just walk away. I don't say a word. I just walk away.
You shouldn't have to.
It's my own charity.
I got a stack of quarters. Like, I only have $6 left. I you know what else? I want to have a game. I want to do it. Oh, I fell over. I want to do a thing where you got to like see how many, who could put $20 in quarters in a car wash little buddy real quick, the first. Because you got to have the one hand, you got to grab him from the hand, you got to put it in there.
Right.
Remember when Scottie Pippen in that commercial used to shoot quarters at the Pepsi machine and he'd hit the shot from about 30 yards out?
Uh-huh.
He'd swish the slot machine with the quarter.
He did that for real too. That wasn't, there was no movie magic.
Yeah, that's what really happened. He did that.
Yeah.
So know that. Mm-hmm. And that's why the 90s were better than now and every other time.
You know what happened to me one time, speaking of banks?
What?
I fucking always, you know, for the longest time when I was a cop, I was like, man, I hope I'm in the bank when it gets robbed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like on duty to make sure I'm packing and all that stuff. And one time I was going back into Shelbyville, Indiana, where I lived, and I had an office there. Coming from Indianapolis, I was coming from the state police post, and I go right by my bank. And now my plan, because I had a meeting in there about a loan on a rental house I was going to buy.
Yeah.
So my plan was to stop and do this meeting. It was like 1 o'clock PM or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then
that's classic, perfect bank robbing time.
Right. But then one of my dudes from Shelby County called me, and he was working on this case, and he caught a little break, and he's like, hey, you want to go with me, help me do this? And I'm like, yeah, let me call. I'll reschedule this thing for tomorrow. So I called the bank. I'm pulling up on it. While I'm on the phone, I'm like, hey, can we reschedule for tomorrow? And the dude's like, yeah, no problem. So I drive right by it. Instead of pulling in to go to my appointment, I drive right by it.
Don't tell me it happened.
No sooner than I pull into the fucking sheriff's office and walk out and walk in the back door and set my shit down on my desk. Boom. Robbery call.
Damn it.
Robbed right during my fucking appointment that I was supposed to be there to get a fucking... I would have been sitting in the office like in perfect position, right? Because now I have fucking cover. I'm inside the bank... loan guy's office. He's not really going to see me when he walks in to do his shit. And it was armed robbery. He had a fucking gun.
You would have had the side. You would have flanked them from the right side.
I would have let him get his money, just fucking run out the front door, and I'd just right behind him, and I would have fucking gun on him into the fucking parking lot.
Yep, and then...
Cognac, motherfucker.
Now, let's say this. I also have a question with this. I don't know, because, you know, like a lot of times... Listen, we know that a lot of police shootings are legitimate, but a lot of them, you know, are questionable. But when you're in that position and you got a bank robber and you literally have the fucking luck of the draw to actually finally be actually just in there in the progress of one over there trying to get a rental property on the middle of a shift. do you shoot for the leg or do you go right at the back? Like what is it, a conscious thing?
I wouldn't shoot him in the bank. I would just
on his body, in the back or the leg, like.
Yeah, but I wouldn't shoot him while inside the bank because fucking there's people in there.
Uh-huh.
So I would wait for him to get out. I would just let him leave. I'd just act like I'm another customer. Let him shoot out those doors, and then I run outside where we're away from everybody. But then I just can't shoot him. I got to fucking announce myself. If he turns around, points a gun at me, then I got to drop him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but here's a problem. Everybody's always like, can you just shoot the guy in the leg? Can you just shoot the guy in the leg? You know how many people die from gunshots to the leg?
I don't know that. I definitely don't. So you should tell us.
Your fucking leg is full of major arteries. Like you can bleed out in no time if I nick your femoral artery in your leg.
Femoral. Nice word.
Yeah. Like, so you can't, you know, you just can't. It's not safe to just shoot people in the leg.
Well, I also feel like movies have done that to the general public. Because I'll tell you right now, in my fucking skull, I was thinking to myself, just shoot him in the leg.
Yeah. But then also that doesn't stop him from shooting at you.
Yeah.
So the idea is I'm going to shoot to put you down so you can't shoot at me. And the best way to do that, set a mass right here, baby.
Oh, and you know what else? I've seen guys who get shot and they turn around as they fall down to the ground in slow-mo and shoot back and catch the guy. So, you know, long shot, absolute superhero or supervillain type shit versus superhero, but it is doable. So I guess, you know.
What if it had been like the movie Heat? I'd have ran out there after the guy, and then there'd be a whole team of them with fucking body armor.
And fully autos, just.
Fully automatic machine guns, just spraying.
I used to love that, because when I lived downtown LA, I knew exactly where that bank was, and we'd always go hang out. We'd ride our bikes and shit and always stop by there, you know, just like look at it, because it's so, Like the North Hollywood shootout.
Where the North Hollywood bank shootout was, or the movie?
No, not the actual. The set of Heat.
Night.
Because it's actually a change.
What did I say, night?
Yeah, there's actually a change. It make it look like it's all in one area, but there's like two areas that are taking place.
Sweet.
But it's fucking awesome.
It's the best shootout scene of any movie, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, top five.
Downtown LA, it was so awesome while I lived there. And it wasn't awesome for, I mean, it was so much, it's not really that awesome down there. But if you're a movie person, if you're into like that type of shit and you have time to like wander around during the day, like if you're a bartender or a bartender that's also a comedian, you know, or you only have like a restaurant job every once in a while in the afternoons because your buddy owns the spot, mm-hmm. which is my position. And my roommate was only a comedian only. So
right,
we had all day to do whatever we wanted. Right. And you see filming all the time. You know, and you find locations, you watch movies and so many movies and you start to see, oh, this happened. Oh, this happened here. Oh, this movie, like the number 23, that movie with Jim Carrey, that scary movie.
Oh yeah.
I know. I remember the moment I found it. I go, holy fuck. This is the lobby. This is where it takes place. This is the number 23 hotel. This is
nice.
The one, you know, like you get all happy on that type of shit.
Hell yeah.
It's just like a huge bonus, especially when you spend hours and hours of your week just wandering around down there. Oh, like yeah. We would go and we'd wander up on the top of the business area. It was just, I forget the name of it, but that's how you bought weed before the weed shop opened. It was all the guys, the bike messenger guys.
Oh, yeah.
They all hung out after their day. Like when they were like one big group of area in this one area of the lawn, and Felipe Esparza, who's the comedian, one last comic standing and shit. We would wander over there and he knew. So, and we didn't look like cops at all. I mean, I might've gotten confused for one if they were a little paranoid, but he would have never been confused for one.
Right.
So we would go there and we'd buy our little grams or eighth or whatever and go smoke weed. You'd find the guy. Like they're all just hanging out under the trees and shit, waiting to get called to go deliver shit on their bicycles.
Nice.
And that's where we would go get our weed before the weed shop.
Dang. Was your weed pre-measured when you got it?
No, it comes in a little bag. It's like, all right, if a little tiny bag, you know, it's the same bag that the dudes use for coke, but we didn't use it for that because we didn't do that. We just, it's the same little baggie. Mm. It's like, all right, it's full. We're good. You know, you're just 20.
So it wasn't full of pre-measured fresh ingredients?
Well, you know what? Not as much as we'd like to have. Not as much as we'd like
See,
to have.
See, that's what I like about HelloFresh, man.
Oh,
I mean, it's in the name. You get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. You don't have to run down to some street corner to get it. It comes right to your door. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And that's why it's America's number one meal kit.
Okay, this summer, HelloFresh has everything you need to get grilling. We're talking about grilling bundles, burger packs, surf and turf packs.
You can choose from 50 menu and market items each week from vegetarian meals to craft burgers and extra special gourmet options. It's all available. There's something for everybody to enjoy with all recipes designed and tested by professional chefs. I'm not talking about amateur chefs. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about professional chefs and nutritional experts, not a nutritional layman. I'm talking about a nutritional expert to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. HelloFresh offers the flexibility you need to easily customize your order on the app within minutes. Easily change your delivery day, food preferences, plan size, or skip a week whenever you need to.
You know how I cook, man.
I know how you cook.
Listen, me and my lady, her daughter, her son, we're here. We're on the move. People are, you know, there's games being played. There's jobs being worked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's trips being taken. There's plans being made.
Yeah.
You don't always have, you know, listen, you don't always have time to go to the grocery store, man. That's why I love what this does. HelloFresh is saving us time on those busy weeknights, man. And that's what I'm saying. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And that's why I'm part of this package. It's just everything you could possibly want, Todd.
Absolutely, dude. I mean, that's the whole thing. And, you know, my Achilles heel is I don't know how much to buy to cook for just two people. It's me and my lady. I end up cooking enough for the whole neighborhood.
Yep.
And then, after we eat, it sets in the fridge and it just ends up going bad. Or we have to eat the exact same thing over and over again. This is pre-measured. It's exactly the amount you need for the perfect meal for two people. And it's changed the game for me.
I'll tell you what, you were actually going to start a food truck one time because you had so much extra food.
I was. I was just going to keep an extra refrigerator out on the front porch so the neighborhood could come by and grab out of it. Every time I cook, there's leftovers for everybody. So listen, go to HelloFresh.com/GunsBlazing14 and use code GunsBlazing14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping. HelloFresh.com/GunsBlazing14 and use code GunsBlazing14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping.
That's my lucky number 14. I was number 14 Little League, bro. And we went 31-1 1 year at number 14. All you got to do is go to HelloFresh.com/GunsBlazing14. Use code GunsBlazing14 and if you get 14 free meals.
If you forget the code, all you got to do is remember the name of the podcast and then think of Pete Rose, number 14. Yep. That's all you got to do.
That's all you got to do. And think about 7 right double. Away. That's 2. That's 14. That's the code.
Speaking of the movie Heat, listen, everybody needs to get on Prime and watch the documentary Val.
Yeah.
It's about Val Kilmer. It's life. He basically walked around with the video camera his entire life, and he documented every fucking second of every day. Even like he was on movie sets and stuff. It is so fucking good.
You gave us the rec yesterday in the group chat.
Mm-hmm.
And last night I was like, all right, I'm just chilling out. I put it on and I didn't realize that I didn't know his voice was that where it is. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, it was just it was such an emotional roller coaster. It gives you such a different perspective of Val Kilmer. And it's just this roller coaster ride of a life. This guy was unbelievable, man. What a driven guy since day one. And to film that much, to say your story is one thing, but to have all the footage.
You know what was weird too? His son ends up narrating because, you know, those that don't know, Val Kilmer survived throat cancer and he had some shit taken out. And now he has one of those like air hole, and he gets a, plug it, which means he has to hold his breath while he speaks. And he can't hardly understand him right now. Yeah, he's like in the middle of his speech therapy, but his voice is never going to be the same. But so his son did the narrating. His son sounds just like him when he was young. And at first I'm like, did he fucking somehow pre-record everything that he would want into his documentary when he was older? And then he showed it as his son. I was like, oh, damn. But that guy, you know what sucks is I'm so sad because he could adopt any voice, any accent. Any voice, he could transform his speech depending on the role. He was just one of those dudes.
Yeah.
Like when he was Mark Twain, he sounded just like Mark Twain.
Yeah. I didn't really understand. I've never really sat back and looked at and thought about and looking at his career as a guy who can just adapt to the role. And you know what I really, one of my favorite things, and I talked to my director friend, Christian Sesma, who directed a movie with Val Kilmer.
Mm-hmm.
They do have a friendship. And I messaged him and I said, this is incredible. This is incredible that he did that and that he had the insight to film it all and then just move through it. And when he said that he was sending out, he would film full on scenes to send to directors to audition for roles. And I don't want to ruin the movies that he did that for, because that's kind of one of the fun little reveals of the movies that he didn't get with that process. But it's also fun to see the movies that he did get, but with that process.
I mean, yeah, I'd never heard of that before. Somebody just hearing that so-and-so's making this movie and they're I would like to be in that. So I'm going to film my own audition tape on my own camera and then I'm just going to send it to them.
But not just against the wall doing stuff, full scenes,
full action sequence, full. Yeah.
Fully everything. And Jack, that guy, you just can see the work ethic and why he was who he was and how good he was at. I mean, now, listen, he has so many roles. We can sit here and pick them off one by one. But when he played Jim, Jim Morrison in The Doors, I mean, and the way he broke it down, the way he did it, and the way they did the comparisons of the actual Jim Morrison and him, what a fucking guy. What a move, bro.
He was just one of those people that, they're like parrots that can mimic anything, movement, the way somebody moves, the way they speak. He was Doc Holliday. That's one of the best.
Yeah, that one too, bro.
Of all time. One of the best fucking characters of all time.
By the way, you got to take those local bags and give them a wash dry cycle. They're a different type of bag and they have a different. I really enjoy them. You even get a little bounce off of them that you don't get from the other bags.
They feel like leather.
Well, I'm telling you, once you wash them and dry them, they're definitely a different set of bags.
Yeah. All right.
But, you know, not to interrupt what you're saying, but when it was your turn for some bags from the local guys, local bag company, shout out to them. You know, they were like, which one do you think he'll like? And I'll be like, that one. And that was from Doc Holliday or whatever. That was from the wider
fuck situation. Yeah. I mean, it can be better. I mean, so I have to play with those. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I'm going to like them. Local's great company.
Yeah.
Local bags.
A lot of, you know what? We did have a lot of interaction and we get to do a lot of, a lot of mingling, if you will, with bag company owners. And they're really awesome, man.
Yeah. Everybody in that industry seems like they're just fucking good people.
You know, they might all have some, they might all have little things with each other or whatever, because it's their it's like when comedy clubs go heads up or whatever, right. It's understandable. You know, it's just no matter what, barbershops, grocery stores, whatever the fuck it is, if it's your company in the same field, there's going to be some sort of animosity or beef. Not saying that I saw any, but I'm saying, if there is or not, the small guys, the large guys, everybody was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
At the ACL World Championships, Rock Hill, South Carolina for the 2001 World Championships.
Blast. God, man. That listen, everybody.
I've
seen Cornhole on ESPN and shit. They need to do a Cribs episode on the HQ.
But during a blind draw.
That fucking office is kicking, dude. So cool.
So what happens, they've got like 15 sets of boards or something in this open space in their headquarters. And there's a guy in the middle. There's an alley down the middle. You got like 7 on one side, 8 on the other, whatever, however many there are. There's a full bar. There's like a little hop pop shot. And there's some open space because they just moved in there. But there's a guy just doing blind draws and it's two lanes. So, you got 8 teams at 2. Everybody's putting in $10. So you got a pot and second place gets their money back in like $10 or something like that. And that's just what happens the whole night. You just gamble your $10 games.
They got a bar, fully stocked bar in there with glass fronts,
Yeah, beer and alcohol. No, not alcohol, but beer and wine.
Yeah, South Carolina's got those funny liquor laws.
Yeah.
You got to be an ABC affiliate. You got to not, and I don't mean TV. I'm talking alcohol beverage. Let's go.
Yeah, and it was fine. And it's good because, I don't know, it's just perfect. The vibe was perfect. I don't think it needed liquor.
No.
You don't need people getting that shit canned. Like, beers are enough.
I mean, needed people walking around with platters of wings.
That would work.
Just dishing them out all the time. Uh-huh. So that's the only thing because they were wanting suggestions. And I was like, listen, you guys are doing great. It looks great. The vibe's good. But, man, you need at least 2 people at all times just running platters of wings to people. Until you get that, I mean, that takes you to the next level.
Yeah. So,
Trey, Stacey, if you're listening.
Who don't love a good platter of wings?
Oh.
But yeah, no, the format's there, kicking in the restaurant and even having more space to like even make each lane a little bit more intimate would be cool. Obviously you have to have enough space for that, but you don't need it, but it could be cool. But it's just a great little concept. You just run back, you get a random partner. You guys, you got an 8-man tourney. And then there's 2 games per lane to start off. And you wait, if you don't get there first, you wait for that game to end. And then you play on lane 5 while the other 2 teams play on lane, 4 teams play on lane 4. And that's it. And then if you win, what other 80, there's 8 people. Well, 8 teams, that's $160 in the pot. And then obviously the loser team gets $20 each. So that's 40. So it's you each get 60. So if you win, you win $50.
That's how blind chance works.
Plus your $10 back. And then, man, I feel like a couple of the days I played like 8 or 9 of them.
Mm.
And I got second place a few times. A couple of times I got my money back too. But, it was just awesome. It's just fun. It's so much better than bowling.
Oh, yeah. Like bowling hurts my fingers.
And you know what else? You get to meet the other players because, listen, there'll be some novice, but not really. People who don't think they're good are going to be rolling in there and fucking buying in on a blind draw, even though it's $10.
Mm-hmm.
Like my fiance is not going to go in. I get her out there on the court, sometimes. Sometimes she's all about it. Sometimes she's like, fuck that game. And
But she would never just be like, "Oh, what's going on? Let's go sign up for a blind draw." Like, she'd never in a million years do it.
Mine either. Mine's got natural ability too. Like, for no more than she's ever played in her life, like she can hit the board. And I'm like, "Man, you just should start practicing up. Maybe we can start playing together." She's like, "I get bored like about halfway through the game every time we play. Ooh,
so that ain't gonna happen."
I'm like, "All right."
Yeah, and but it, you know, so there's good competition. So, you know, the money, if you're good, you can roll in there and make a few hundred dollars, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're definitely one of the top people, if you get a decent partner, you know, it's not hammered throwing the bag everywhere, then you can win. You can win some money. You know, the blind draws take maybe 30 minutes each. If you're aggressive, because there's like a little hawk of people trying to give their money to the blind draw guy.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it, bro. I loved the competition. I was hitting some nice shots. The first one that I won my money back, we won. We were up 19-18. And all I had to do, all the bags were out. I had the last bag. I had a bag on the back holding up over the hole. And for the win, your boy dropped an airmail drag, and I drug a bag in for the six-point bagger and fucking walked it off. And Jesus Christ, I felt like I wanted to have Gatorade toss on me. I said, "Someone should hit me with Gatorade. We just got second, and then we got smoked the next game. My partner shit the bed.
Where's the Gatorade?"
But I got my little $20 back. But I got 10. I won, made 10 bucks. But I just loved it, man. It was awesome.
Yeah, it'd be fun. I got to start playing in them. I guess I test myself more under those circumstances. Because it's way different than just going in the backyard and just throwing on the board by myself.
There's that, like, that edge to it where you're playing some other fool you don't know, and it's like real competition, and I love it, bro. I love it. I love sneaking a bag by when they got a bag hanging in the hole, and I just come sweep around the back of the corner and swoop her down in there.
I'm thinking about starting to play with someone on my back, like a large child just hanging on my back the whole time.
Yeah.
And someone holding me at gunpoint. That way there's like, I have extra physical obstacles during play. And then there's a lot more mental stress. And then by the time I'm just playing regular matches, I'm like, I don't got some kid hanging from my back. Ain't nobody pointing a gun at me. Let's do this. And then bam.
I like that.
Mentally strong, physically strong.
I like that a lot. I think you can go far with that one.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I'll tell you what, I mean, it's just a good time. I love really getting good at this game. And I already went out yesterday. I put it an hour and a half in. Airmail box on one side, boards on the other. Five sets of four.
Nice.
I just had my 20 bags, went back and forth about 10 times, 15 times at least.
Nice. Nice.
I'm going to get better and better and better. And then I'm just going to pull away from the pack in this operation, Todd. I'm sorry.
Just go pro, dude.
I'm going to probably be the rookie of the year 2023, if not 2024.
I think it'd be a good life being a cornhole pro. I mean, you're going to be gone every weekend. When you're doing full-time comedy, you're gone every weekend.
Yeah, but I think the only way that it can be a good life is if you're – because, you know, you see a lot of those guys that are pros and their wives are with them, or their wives also play. Like,
Live the life also.
Yeah, I don't think you can live that life if your partner isn't involved with you.
Right. Or be single.
Or be single.
Yeah. Be 9 years old.
You have to be, maybe if you're 9 years old, would you be crushing?
Which they do. There's fucking 9 year olds in there all the time. They're fucking so good, it pisses me off.
Ian Cripps 10, I think, or 11. He advanced in the perfect. He is a pro. He's the youngest pro. Him and that kid, Alex Six, who's the number one kid, he's like 12.
Mm-hmm. It's dope, dude. Did you see that, like, the 3 and 4 year old kid? I think it's about their age. I see him on Facebook all the time throwing bags inside their house.
The little brothers, cute ass kids with the dark hair that's curly.
Yes, I mean, they're fucking monsters already. I mean, I don't know if I could beat those kids, to be honest.
Like, you know what? Let's also give a shout out to the guy that had no arms and no legs playing, and he rolled around on the little whatchamacallit thingy, the thing that Pat had that I used to ride around on and say dumb shit on.
Yeah, the little
Segway things.
Yeah.
Those little thingies, but he rolls around on it, which I love because he doesn't, you know, it's perfect. Like that technology comes around right when it's him and he can now do it. And he hops on there and he zips away.
It's so good too.
But he has no arms. Like his arm is probably, I'd say 40% from shoulder to elbow, maybe 50%.
He has them long enough that he can grab both arms. He can grab, and he has the legs are maybe halfway to his knee.
Mm-hmm.
And he grabs the bag in between his arms, like, well, the end of his short arms, and he grabs right in the middle of his chest. And he launches out using his lower body. He launches the bag, and he's fucking good.
I know. It's unreal. Unreal.
Like, I watch him. I'm like, this kid will 100%, no arms, no legs, will smoke me in this game.
Yeah. I mean, I don't get why I'm such a piece of shit. Because he can smoke me, mm-hmm. and I'll, like, bitch about, you know, oh, I can't hold the bag that way or whatever. He fucking has no arms or legs.
He and then you're over here with nice ass arms and legs complaining because you fucked up on the fourth or fifth bag of the day.
And he fucking is.
You should smack yourself in the face right now.
I should.
Oh, I didn't mean it.
I'm ashamed of myself right now.
Whenever I see people like that, shit.
I'm like, oh my God, I'm a piece of shit. I should just go sit down for a while.
Yeah. What am I doing? Taking everything for granted over here.
Mm-hmm. Just a beast.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's just awesome, man. The little kids, the older folks, they had 15 people over 80 that were in their own little tournament.
Really?
Yeah. There was if you look at the, go on the app and look at all.
What's that division called?
The Super Gramps. I don't know.
The Jurassic division.
Shout out to my guy, Bill Hadley, though. I knew it was on, bro. I was like, this kid is on fire. Every game he wouldn't miss. Yeah. Whack, 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 whack. 30 out of 32, you know, 40 out of 44. I'm like, nope, no one's beating this guy, bro. No one's beating him. And then I saw Damon Dennis. I was like, called his games on the senior tour. And I'm like, uh-oh. And he came out a little rusty. Then he came into his groove, and I was like, oh, it's going to be a war between him and Hadley. And Hadley won.
It's so funny because all the top people are either so young they haven't started the real life yet, mm-hmm. or they're retired age.
Uh-huh. Like
all the people in between are getting fucked because they have families and got to go to their kids' shit. Like, so they can't devote enough time to hang with the young people and the old people that have all the time in the world to do nothing but focus on their cornhole.
Yeah, and you know what else it is? The people in the middle that are good are the people like Trey Birchfield, who started off.
Yeah, but he's not in the middle. He's fucking 18 years old.
No, I meant like age wise.
Yeah, like he doesn't even have he's one of those people that don't have a life yet. Like, why not devote your entire attention to cornhole?
As an 18 year old, it's time. You know, there's a strong chance you have to get out in the work field. But if you've been working on it since you were 10, he ain't going to know. I'll tell you right now, that dude is making some dough. His bags. He gave me a set of his bags when we were in Lucky Bag Surefires, the ones mm-hmm. with the Burberry design, the bags that drive a Range Rover. And I was talking to him in Vegas, and we did some interviews, and we're hanging out. And I go, those are some sweet-ass bags, because you want a set? I was like, fuck yeah, I want a set. And I said, thank you, I really appreciate you. And he sent me a set, and I work with him all the time, and I've been breaking them in left and right, you know, and not only playing with them, but a few times I've soaked them in the fabric softener for hours while I did the wash and dry cycle a few times. And 10 people, no less than 10 people, hit me up to trade or buy those bags.
I think
you can't get them.
I think what I should do is I should break up with my girlfriend, sell mm-hmm. my house,
yep.
and just go live with my parents and focus on nothing but cornhole.
You know, your parents have room for the dogs in the backyard. See, you're going to be fine.
She can keep the dogs.
Well, you know what? Listen,
I don't be bogged down with no dogs. I got cornhole to play.
Yeah.
Every week.
Though? You're right. You know what else? I think that if you build more than one shed in your backyard, even if you sell the house, mm-hmm. you can still hang out in the shed as the previous homeowner.
Oh, there you go.
There's shed laws. And especially if it's drywalled and it has a nice flooring and TV and AC, mm-hmm. then if you are a teacher, you can still do your live streams out of there.
There you go. I'll just break up with her, lock myself in that shed and never leave.
That's it.
And then when she gets tired of waiting out there for me, when she goes to sleep, I break out the boards. I practice cornhole.
You'll be pro in no time.
Focus all my attention. You know what's sad? My parents are so awesome. I could do that. They would be like, yeah, if you want to focus on being a cornhole professional, just sell all your stuff and move here. It's no problem.
Like, no big deal.
They would totally let me do that and support my dreams in every way.
Oh, that is so awesome. No, I bet you my mother would. I know that my mother would too.
You know she would, right?
She'd like, she'll let me move right in there, bro. She'll turn a little craft room into my bedroom or some shit. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I'll be able to live in the trailer or something like that. They'll put an RV on the side of the house for me.
Yeah.
No problem if I want to just be Cornhole Pro.
Here's a credit card for your expenses. Are you going to travel here? Just book your flight on my credit card.
Sell my truck. Get a much cheaper vehicle that you pay off fast and just be on the hunt for the championship, baby. The World Championships 2023.
That's all I'm doing. Playing Cornhole. I'm going to think about it tonight. I'm going to sleep on it.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep on that. It's a pretty good life. Pretty good life.
This weekend, Juwett, Ohio.
Yeah, the website has show listings on there. For those of you that didn't know, if you go there right now, Sean and I show in Juwett, Ohio, this Friday and Saturday is on there. It's selling well. Like, I think Friday's on its way to being sold out. Mm-hmm. So maybe focus on Saturday. That's probably most of your people's style anyway. So it's going to be big show, big party. I guess the venue is really cool.
I look cool in the pictures on the website. I'll also be in Louisville the weekend after that, August, that next weekend, that Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I'll be in Fort Wayne, September 11th, and then Dayton in October.
Nice.
And that's all I got for the year. That's it. That's a wrap. I gotta save all that.
I think I'm in Carmel too, like in a couple weeks or something. I don't know.
Did you do that chicken wing spot that has a really good wings and pizza?
Yes.
What's it called?
It's called the Wings and Pizza Place. It's called, what the fuck's the name of it?
Oh, I had my birthday party there a few years when I was like 38.
Brain farting. God damn it. Anyway, just find it. It'll be on that site or mine or something. Shows. Check them out. Go to YouTube. Subscribe. Check out the shorts. We're trying to put together these shorts. Get in that game.
Yeah, we're trying to do our thing. We're having a good time. A lot of video content coming out. So go check that out, please.
Keep spreading the word. You guys are doing great. Tell a friend. Ask your friends. Next time you're out with your friends, be like, you guys listen to Guns Blazing podcast? And they're like, no. I'm like, here, do yourself a favor. This is my favorite episode right here. Give this one a shot. See if you want to fucking get on board. Because
that's how we do.
Get on the train early. It always pays off. Ground floor, baby.
Ground floor.
Love you.
Love you, buddy. See you later.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.